Looking for his kinsfolk, he led Dermer on a melancholy march inland. The settlements they passed lay empty to the sky, but full of untended dead. Tisquantum's party finally encountered some survivors, a handful of families in a shattered village. These people sent for Massasoit, who appeared, Dermer wrote, with a guard of 50 armed men, and a captive French sailor, a survivor of the shipwreck on Cape Cod. Massasoit asked Dermer to send back the Frenchman, and then he told Tisquantum what had happened. One of the French sailors had learned enough Massachusetts to inform his captors before dying that God would destroy them for their misdeeds. The Nauset scoffed at the threat. But the Europeans carried a disease, and they bequeathed it to their jailers. Based on accounts of the symptoms, the epidemic was probably a viral hepatitis, according to a study by Arthur E. Spice of the Maine Historic Preservation Commission and Bruce D. Spice of the Medical College of Virginia. In their view, the strain was, like hepatitis A, spread by contaminated food rather than by sexual contact or needles, like hepatitis B or C. Whatever the cause, its results were ruinous. The Indians died in heaps as they lay in their houses, the merchant Thomas Morton observed. In their panic, the healthy fled from the sick, carrying the disease with them to neighboring communities. Behind them remained the dying, left for crows, kites, and vermin to prey upon. Beginning in 1616, the pestilence took at least 3 years to exhaust itself and killed as much as 90% of the people in coastal New England. And the bones and skulls upon the several places of their habitations made such a spectacle, Morton wrote, that the Massachusetts woodlands seemed to be a newfound Golgotha, the place of the skull, where executions took place in Roman Jerusalem. The massive death toll created a political crisis. Because the hostility between the Wampanoag and the neighboring Narragansett had restricted contact between them, the disease had not spread to the latter. Massasoit's people were not only beset by loss, they were in danger of subjugation. Stunned by the loss of his family and home, Tisquantum returned to Maine. But he had no place there either. He returned to New England in 1620, only to be imprisoned by Massasoit, perhaps because of his association with the hated English. As he had before, Tisquantum talked his way out of a jam. This time he extolled the English, filling Massasoit's ears with tales of their cities, their great numbers, their powerful technology. Tisquantum said, according to a colonist who knew him, that if the sachem could make the English his friends, then any enemies that were too strong for him, in other words, the Narragansett, would be constrained to bow to him. The sachem listened without trust. Within a few months, word came that a party of English had set up shop at Patuxet. The Wampanoag observed them suffer through the first punishing winter. Eventually, Massasoit concluded that he possibly should ally with them. Compared to the Narragansett, they were the lesser of two evils. Still, only when the need for a translator became unavoidable did he allow Tisquantum to meet the pilgrims.